Well, you may know that we completed our previous Bible study, and I've been praying about something that would be helpful to us on a Wednesday night, and I could not get away from this. Could not get away from wanting to share from the lives of the patriarchs. You'll know those names because you hear them constantly throughout Scripture. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Old Testament, New Testament, you continually hear Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Tonight's just going to be an introductory to that, and I really want this to make a difference in lives. And I really feel like this evening, if you will give ear to the word, that there can be a difference made in your life by the time you leave this place. We're going to look, as for the introductory presentation tonight, we're going to look in Genesis 17. Genesis 17. And you can just remain seated for the Bible study. I appreciate when we stand to honor God's word. But let me tell you the best way to honor God's word. Listen. Listen when it's preached and taught. Genesis 17 and verse 5. I'm talking about best way here. The best way to honor God's word is to live it, to do it, to be it. Amen. Genesis 17 verse 5. This is God speaking to Abraham. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations, I want you to notice this, a father of many nations, have I made thee. God said, I made thee. And then verse 6, and I, notice the wording, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of these, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant before me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Going back to verse 6, this is going to be our focus this evening. God told Abraham, I will make thee. We're going to be talking in this series, Faith Like the Fathers, but tonight in this introduction, we're talking about a faith to be made. If you will believe God, he will make you. That's what happened with Abraham. Abraham believed God and God shaped him. God molded him. God made him. That's what we're going to be talking about. The whole purpose of this series is to realize, just like these fathers put their faith in God and he responded in shaping their lives so that their lives counted in their time and beyond, if we will put our faith in God, he will shape our lives so that our lives will count right now and beyond. You know, this, I don't know if you've noticed this so much, but have you noticed how our current pop culture is trying to destroy history? Let me preface this by this remark. Discrimination, prejudice, and all of that is always wrong in every context, in every person, in every country. But this massive trying to tear down all the statutes and the memorials, I'm pretty convinced the people doing the tearing down have no idea of the history behind it. In fact, it's in repudiation of the true history. And so they're tearing down statues. Even this week, protests were made not to celebrate Columbus Day anymore, to get rid of that. Again, a repudiation of history. I know those folks weren't perfect. That's not the point. The point is people who don't know history are trying to erase history from American minds and culture and thinking. But here's the problem with that. If people do not know history, they are shaped only by the passing fads and whims of today. If you don't know history, the thing that shapes your life is the passing, fleeting whims of today's fads and trends. But worse than in America, not Americans not knowing their history, we're living in times that increasingly Christians don't know the history. A lot of this came because folks that thought they were really expounding on grace said, this is all New Testament. We don't need the Old Testament. Do you realize? Another part of it's people quit having, churches quit having Sunday school. Do you realize people really don't know the stories of the Bible anymore? They really don't. You guys might, but or the church at large, people don't know about Moses and Noah and Abraham. They don't know the stories. There's been an erasing of the history of the Bible. And consequently, Christians of today, they're not being shaped by the history of the Bible. Christians today are being shaped by the passing fads and trends of culture. What's happening right now? So that's one reason we're doing this study. And this is going to be a study of those four patriarchs. Much of the book of Genesis is devoted to their lives and their biographies. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now let me tell you what I do, because I anticipate this. Maybe you didn't, but I anticipated this. And I try to always anticipate it. My first question was, why would we do a study of these four men? Do you realize, after all, they lived 4,000 years ago? That's even before Brother Brock was born. I mean, 4,000 years ago, Brother Brock. That's 40, 50 of your lifespan. How is that relevant? Why would we do this study? Why? Well, we could say we're going to do it because their lives are really interesting stories. How many would agree? There's some interesting stuff in there. Well, that's true, but no, that's not why we're going to do this study. We could do this study because these folks' lives had a huge impact on world history. Not just on world history, but their lives continue to this day to have a huge impact on what's going on in our world. Just say one word, Islam. And you may not make the connection, but it goes back to these four people's lives. So we could do this study because of what's happening. Do you realize that the three major world religions all come from this man Abraham? How many knows? I mean, I know you know, but let's refresh ourselves. Did you know the three major religions of the world come from this man Abraham? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Beyond that, the current tensions and conflicts that have went on and on, I've been reading about it. It's never changed through history, but those tensions in the Middle East all come from the life of Abraham. What's happening today, what you hear in your news about Israel and Jerusalem and Palestine and all of that, it all goes back to Abraham. So we could study it because of that, but no, we're not going to study it because of that. We could study the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph because their lives are a part of the story of our redemption. It's through Abraham that God brings redemption. I'm talking about salvation. Our salvation was worked by God through Abraham's life and through history to Jesus Christ. And we are redeemed. If there'd been no Abraham, there'd been no Jesus Christ. We're speaking hypothetical, but that's the way it is. And so we could study this because their lives are part of the story of redemption. But no, we're not going to study it for that. Here's why we're studying their lives. Because these four men, their lives were shaped by their faith in God. And we're going to study it because God wants to work in our lives to shape us as well, to mold us as well. We're studying their lives because if we'll put our faith in God like they did, we would be aware of God shaping our lives like He shaped their lives. You see, I really believe God wants to work in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're 7 or 70, 19 or 90. It doesn't matter if you've come from a family that's been in church for generations, or if you've ridden transportation to get here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're particularly talented or you're just normal and average like the rest of us. God wants to work in your life. God wants to mold your life. And the way that Abraham responded to God is the way that God wants us to respond to Him. And if we do, the results will be just as remarkable in our life as they were in Abraham's. Brother Durth may not remember this, but years and years ago, I was back at the back, and somehow we got to talking about Abraham. And I can't remember exactly how. You didn't know theology came out of the tech room back there, did you? lot of things come from back there. Just stop by and see. I don't know if you can buy anything anymore. Quit selling, you know. Maybe you can, CDs. But anyway, we were chatting, and somehow we got on Abraham, and he said, you know, we think of the people in the Bible as superheroes. But he said, if we saw Abraham in a nursing home, he would probably be so shriveled up that we couldn't pick him out from any of the other old men residents out of a nursing home. I mean, think about it. He was 100 when Isaac was born. He was an old man. Think about it. And I think he's right. If you saw Abraham in a nursing home, you probably couldn't have picked him out. Now, he wouldn't be in Bible garb. He'd be dressed like to people today. You wouldn't be able to pick Abraham out from the rest. These people were people like us. You know, sometimes we think because of all the scientific and technological advances that somehow we're different in our time. No, people have always been people, have been people, have been people, have been people. I'm reminded of what James said of Elijah. He was subject to like passions as we are. The people of Abraham's time, including Abraham, had the same desires and aspirations that we have. They had the same battles and struggles. They had the same enemies. The devil was back then like the devil is now. Did you know we talk a lot about temperament? They may not have used that word, but people had the same temperaments back then as we do today. And so things were the same. People were the same. But let me remind you some other things that were the same. God was the same. I said God was the same. The Holy Spirit was the same. Amen. Truth was the same. And faith was the same. And so the way Abraham's faith in God worked, our faith in God can work. That's what we're going to look at. We're also going to see in the life of Abraham that God shaped Abraham to be his friend. And by being God's friend, God used Abraham to bless the nations. Let me tell you what's going to have to happen if we have God shape our lives. We must quit trying to get God to see our lives from our perspective and begin to see our lives from God's perspective. Hear me. This is the problem. Think about your prayers. Think about your prayers. You're trying to get God to see your life from your perspective. Faith allows us to see our lives from God's perspective. How does God see us? Let me tell you what God's perspective is. God's perspective is He has a plan for our lives. He had a plan for Abraham's life. So, to believe God will shape my life, I must believe some things. And we'll give them to you quickly tonight. These are important. To believe God will shape my life, I must believe, first of all, I must believe before I was even born, God had a plan for my life. Before I was even born, God had a plan for my life. I'm going to read some scriptures from Ephesians as I go along because Ephesians describes how God shaped us as a people, as a whole. And it applies to how God shapes us as individuals. But look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as God hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. God chose us before He created planet Earth. He chose us. He already had a plan for us. Amen. Now, how does that work with Abraham? Well, if you'll read the New Testament, before God created earth, before He created man, He already had the plan of salvation. Well, the plan of salvation comes through Abraham. Abraham was the beginning of that. Abraham, and I'm not going to go into it tonight, but from Abraham came the nation, from which came the family, from which came the dynasty, which came Jesus Christ. Came the tribe, came the family, came Jesus Christ. And so God had this plan for salvation. If He already had salvation planned out, He already had to have a plan for Abraham because Abraham's a part of that redemption story. But leaving Abraham for a moment, let me give the example of the prophet Jeremiah from his words. Look at Jeremiah 1 verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the womb, the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God told Jeremiah, I had a plan for you before you were even born. Young people know this, but since I've been pastor 26 years, when I sign a young person's birthday card, I put in there, God has a plan for your life. I want you to know that. And I remember preaching to youth camp, and some of our young people were there years ago, and I mentioned that, and it just hit me that it, you know, maybe that was a worthless thing to do, a waste of time. And so I just kind of parenthetically said, maybe I should just stop that. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe I'll just quit that. And one of our young people out in the audience visibly began to shake her head and mouth, no, 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 no. You see, we need to know God has a plan for our lives before we're even born. Secondly, if we want our lives to be shaped by God, we must believe that that plan fits and is a part of God's purposes. Please hear the next few little things I'm going to say. These are so important to where we're at today. Please just latch on to them somehow or the other. But let's go to Ephesians first. God's predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Here it is, according to the good pleasure of his will. He shapes people to his will, to what he wants. He shapes people to his plan. Now, I noted above that the plan of salvation included a plan for Abraham's life. God's plan for Abraham fit the bigger plan of salvation. You see, this not only gives us purpose, but we got to realize something. That our plan is a part of God's bigger plan doesn't mean we're just a cog in God's big plan, or a nut or a bolt in God's big plan. That our plan's a part of God's bigger plan means he allows us to have a role. He allows us to play a part. We are a part of God's big eternal plan. Not just for salvation, but beyond an eternity. Well, I told myself I wouldn't get there tonight. God's plan always starts and ends with eternity. For you, for me, for the church. Now, here's what I want us to really get. It's big today about talking about God has a plan for one's life. But there's a subtle difference in it that makes all the difference. Today, here's the emphasis coming from pulpits and teaching and churches. Today, the emphasis is whatever aspiration or dream that I have for my life, God is going to get interested and invested in that, and he's going to enable me to see my aspiration, my dream, come to pass. You say, Pastor, do you just make those things up? No, sir, I don't. There's a real fad sweeping the land. It's a movement, Elevate. It's a way of doing music and church and preaching. And I listened to one, and by the way, he happened to be on the Patriarchs too, has nothing, no connection to this, but he was using a Disney animated movie, and he would play long segments of it and then intersperse a few remarks, and that's how he was talking about the life of Joseph. It was really about the life, Brother Brian could tell me, I don't know. Who is it? The thing I allowed you to see too, the preacher using Disney. You know what I'm talking about, young people? He was playing the Disney movie. But I began to listen to him and I realized what the difference was. He was saying that Joseph had a dream and God made Joseph's dream come true. And if you'll have a dream, God will make your dream come true. You know, if you want to be an NFL player, not a good time for it, but if you want to be, that's your dream. God will make it come true. You want to be a millionaire? God will make it come true. If you want to be a doctor, God will make your dream come true. I thought the man doesn't know his Bible. Yes, Joseph had a dream, but Joseph's dream wasn't Joseph's dream for Joseph. Joseph's dream was God's dream for Joseph. That's the difference. The emphasis today is you come up with your plan, you come up with your vision, you come up with your dream, and then get God on board to make it come to pass. No, sir, that's not what I'm preaching. God had a plan for Abraham. God had a dream for Abraham. And by faith, Abraham believed that, and God made it happen. And I believe tonight that God will give you a dream. And it will be your dream, but it was first God's dream for you. Thirdly, if we believe God to shape our lives, we must believe God will make his plan known. I must believe God will make his plan known to me. Let's go to Ephesians again, chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, what he wanted to do. He made it known to us. We could talk all night here, but I just want to take a different tack. Did you know rarely does God make his will and his plan known to us at the beginning and all at once? How many could shake your head in affirmation? God has a plan for us, but he rarely makes it known to us at the beginning and all at once. It would scare you, for one thing, if you knew everything that your life entailed. Okay? Obeying God's call, we'll get to this later, but obeying, not tonight, but later at night, obeying God's call, the Bible says Abraham went out not knowing whither he was going. God had a plan. God made it known to Abraham, but not all at once and not at the beginning. So Abraham went out not knowing whither he was going. I'm going to refer you to last Wednesday night's message about, you know, we want God to pull our right earlobe when he wants us to turn right, and our left when he wants us to turn left. We're always looking for a sign or this or that. And remember the emphasis of the message: you trust in the Lord and he'll put before you what his will is. And we're not going to re-preach it, but I want to refer your attention to that, because I want you to listen to me, please. We don't have to go about like a detective trying to unravel the riddle of God's plan for our life. We don't have to try to just figure this thing out on our own. What does God want me to do? What we do is we do today what we know God wants us to do. We live for God today. We walk with God today. We seek God today. And God will open up that plan in front of us as we go. He'll make it known to us. Amen. So very often in my own life, I never saw how a thing was a part of God's plan till later, sometimes much later. Then it occurred to me. Yes, it was a part of God's plan. I won't tell you the whole story, just briefly, but I tried out for the OBI choir on a dare. Had no intentions of being it, and I made it somehow. I guess Brother David recognized true talent. I don't know how that works, but I made it. And then I felt bad about that God didn't really want me to do that, and I quit. I don't know if anybody did that, but I did. I quit just after the first week, and I'm not a quitter. I just felt God... Well, put simply, if I'd stayed in choir, I wouldn't have stayed in Greek, because there's a conflict. If I had stayed in Greek, I wouldn't have been asked to teach at OBI, because that's what I was hired to teach. And if I hadn't taught Greek at OBI, I wouldn't have been there when students from this church came. In other words, I wouldn't even be pastor and preaching to you tonight. I didn't see it at the time. Everyone told me I was doing something silly when I quit the choir. They told me that was silly. But I saw later how God had a plan. Let me talk about young people getting married. For most, you'll be glad to know that marriage is a part of God's plan for your life. Not for everybody. Don't let that worry you. If it's not a part of his will for your life, you won't be extremely worried about that. But for most, it's a part. And so don't try to make that happen. Don't try to figure that out. Who's it going to be, you know, and all of that. Let me tell you how you do it. Live for God. Walk with God. Be the right person, and God will bring the right person into your life. He'll unfold that plan. It's not a riddle to figure out. It's not an eeny, meeny, miny, mo kind of thing. And, you know, all these things that you go through. Let God shape you into whom you should be according to his plan. And if marriage is a part of his plan, that'll just come up and be a part of that. You got to have that faith. Amen. Next. If you believe that God will shape you, if I believe that, I must believe that God will shape me to fit his plan. We got a will, we got a response, but we got to believe that God is at work. He's working on us to fit his plan. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship. Just like a sculptor sculpts a statue. We are God's workmanship. Amen. God called Abraham out of the corrupt culture. God delayed the promised son for years and years. God, when the son came, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. God commanded Abraham to perform that painful ritual and all of that in his life. And it didn't all seem to fit. And it didn't all seem right. But in all of that, God was shaping Abraham to be the father of many nations and to bring about salvation through Jesus Christ. Everything in the life of Abraham happened as a part of God shaping Abraham to fulfill the plan for his life. Then I must believe that God will give me purpose and blessing through his plan. His plan is not just sour medicine, something to be endured. To know God's got a plan, to live it, is to have purpose, reason for being, to live for something greater than yourself. But it's not just purpose that he gives. You will be blessed in God's plan. Look in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Abraham lived as a nomad in tents, and yet he lived with a purpose. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham knew that the family he was raising was going to be a mighty nation. He knew that somehow people through him were going to be blessed by his walk with God. And by the way, Abraham had visitors, heavenly visitors come to him. Abraham had a burning lamp from heaven come. He had these tremendous experiences. And think of all the material blessings Abraham had. Many cattle, many sheep, and much metal, and all of this. Why? Because he was living God's plan, and living God's plan, he had a purpose, and having a purpose, he was blessed. Last of all tonight, I must believe, in order for God to shape my life, I must believe that God will cause my life to impact many others through his plan. I just want to add right here, this thing I told you about, this subtle change, so much of it today is God's got a plan for you, but somehow it's only benefiting me. God's plan for me is a plan that will impact others through me for him, for righteousness, for his kingdom. Let me tell you something about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job. Their lives counted. You know how I know their lives counted? We read about them in the Bible. We're talking to them about them tonight. Their lives count. That's the thing. Follow Satan's plan for your life. There's destruction, selfishness, narcissism. You end up with misery. Follow God's plan for your life, however tough it gets, and your life will impact others. Many were blessed through Abraham. Look at Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint has its own plan. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. We all have a different plan. We come together as a body and we impact one another and the world around us. I pointed out earlier that there are three major world religions here because of Abraham. Now that's impact. That's impact. But there's a lesson we learn from Abraham's life. We'll expound later. When he lived according to God's plan, he impacted people for good. But when he did not live according to God's plan, he impacted people for bad. And so when he was living according to God's plan, we have Judaism and Christianity. Good forces, Judaism in its time, and now Christianity. And when he lived out of God's plan in his flesh, we have Islam, and we have the terrorism and the murder that we have in our, and it's all because you'll impact people one or two ways. Following God, the impact was blessing. Not following God, the impact was destruction. Now I want you to know, this is a side note, but it's important. Islam has changed history. 1,500 years after Abraham, they changed the story to try to say that Ishmael was the promised son and not Isaac. They played games with the Bible. They mutilated the scripture to do that. The world needs to know it's based on lies. It's based on falsehood. But really, it all goes back. All that we're facing in that turmoil goes back to Abraham following his flesh, following his own plan instead of God's plan. So Abraham is both the man through whom God has brought peace through Jesus Christ, but he's also the man through whom Satan has brought war that exists to this time. You'll make an impact. Follow God's plan, an impact that will bless others. Follow Satan's plan, self's plan, an impact that'll be destructive. Amen. Brother Brian has told me, young man, several years ago, began to go wayward and influence others away from God. And Brother Brian said something to him like, you could be leading these friends of yours closer to God and leading your friends to serve God and to worship God and to be a part of the church. And the young man responded, well, I don't want to be a leader. Brother Brian said, too bad. Whether you want to or not, you are. And you'll either lead them to good things or you'll lead them to bad things. That was Abraham's life. When you do God's will, you lead people to good. Your life has an impact. It becomes my plan versus God's plan, and my flesh versus God's will, and my dream versus God's dream for me. Would you come, music? Today, as I just typed what I just read, I heard Xander and Andrew in the other room, and Andrew said, come on, Xander, it's time to pick up your toys. Actually, Xander was on my had come in and crawled on my lap. And so I set Xander down and said, go, Xander. You have a purpose, and Andrew has a plan. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? If you hear his voice for your life, you have a purpose because he has a plan. I'm not opening a new sermon. I'm closing this. If you know God has a plan for your life, you've got purpose. There's a reason for living. There's a reason for you. You've got passion. Life is not pointless. It's not vain. It's not empty. And you've got a push. If God's got a plan for your life, there's an urgency under which to live. Amen. There's people that are lost. Amen. If I would follow God, he would make my life a blessing. If I don't and do my own thing, amen, it'll be a harmful. I'm going to tell you this story. I've only told it a few times, and I'm through. It's a personal story. Not long after I got called to preach, we were all in the altar praying, and God's Spirit was moving. And they had just prayed over me. I don't think it was my official ordination or anything like that, but they just people prayed over me, knew just been called to preach. And this didn't happen this way in our church, but there was a message in tongues, an interpretation. And the interpretation was this: if this man will follow me and serve me, he will impact many for the kingdom and do good. But if he turns from following me and doing my will, he will, real close to this, he will do as much harm as he would have ever done good. I've lived my life and my ministry under that word from the Lord. But it's really true for all of us. We let God fulfill his plan. We'll impact many. We'll be blessed. We'll have purpose. But if we do our own thing or Satan's thing, it's end up going to be bad for us, but bad collaterally for those around us. I want God's plan. Would you believe that God's going to shape your life for his plan? Would you stand across this building? Thank you, Father, for your people. Thank you for this example. We praise you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name. Would you come let God's word find lodging place in your heart? Come just contemplate the things it said and pray about them. Pray about them tonight. God, I want you to shape my life. I want you to shape my life, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, shape me, Lord. I want to live my life for your purposes, for your plan, for your ways. I want to do your will, oh God. Lord, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.